Welcome to the program. We start hour number two. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. Great to be with you. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live, in fact, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, telephone number is toll free. Only one line open. I love seeing that on a Monday. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. I've got phone calls coming up on the other side, but first things first, we start hour number two by having a conversation with the head football coach at North Carolina State. Ninth season with the Wolfpack, led NC State to a school record 7 ACC wins last season. NC State with a huge win over number 9 Clemson in double OT on Saturday. The program's first win over a top 10 team since 2012. NC State 3-1, and they are number 23 in the AP poll. They're at home against Louisiana Tech on Saturday. We are joined by their head coach, Dave Doran. Dave, it is great to have you on. How are you?
Doing good, Jim. Hope you are.
I'm doing great. In fact, I really should rephrase that question. You're in the top 25. You're coming off a huge win against the top 10 team at home in double OT. So what was it like to wake up yesterday morning, Dave, after that win?
It was a great night. I mean, it's been coming for a long time and a lot of emotions. You know, we've lost to Clemson in three close games and one heartbreaker. And so there was a lot of redemption, I guess you would say, in that win. But very proud of our staff and our players and our fan base. It was an incredible environment.
Hey Dave, to that point, I mean, you had given Clemson all they could handle in previous meetings, and you talked about that heartbreaker. You'd gotten so close so many times. So what was your message to your team before the game?
Well, I told them all week that we would win the game if we just made the plays we had to make at key moments, and we didn't have to step outside ourselves too much. Just do what you're asked to do. Do it as hard as you can do it. Do it for your brothers. And when you get a chance to put them away, do it. And, you know, we had to overcome ourselves. We had 11 penalties and missed three field goals. So there was a lot of making up to do with offense and defense out there, and the kids found a way.
I'll tell you what, I let two things you just said really stand out to me. Number one, do what you have to do and do it as hard as you can do it. I like that. And to your other point, you had to overcome a couple of missed kicks and 11 penalties. I mean, it would have been easy for guys to get down and say, here we go again, but that's not what happened. That's not the mindset they had. So how do you explain that?
Well, I think there's a genuine love on this football team that we're not going to fail each other. And no matter what, we're not going to flinch. We're going to find a way to win. It's a bunch of guys that truly, genuinely care about the guys on the team and the coaches, and it's really a kind of a magical place to work right now, just the way things have come together over the last 2 years with the leadership we have with our players and the way the coaches interact. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm just really, really excited for the school and our fan base. They've, you know, they needed something like that here at the school, and as you know, sports is a unifying force, and with all the things we've been dealing with, I think it was really, really special.
No doubt. North Carolina head coach Dave Doran joining us. I mean, there's so many moments that we could talk about, but I've got to say, that pass that Devin Leary threw into the corner of the end zone with two defenders in that area really was a thing of beauty. What did you see on that play?
Well, Devin went through his progression. It was a double move to Emeka was what we were trying to get, and they covered it well, and Devin Carter on the other side of the field, we had a fake screen and go, and Devin went through, you know, left to right across the field, saw him, gave him a chance, and ball was a little bit behind on his outside shoulder, and he adjusted well to it, went down, and the pictures of his eyes on the ball, just the focus that he had to frame that catch and put it away, it was really a good job by him.
In fact, just to follow up on that, Dave, like, he was named the Walter Camp FBS Offensive Player of the Week for his performance. You've been around him a long time now, but what did he show you on Saturday?
Well, Devin's a clutch player, and he showed me that last year. We beat Pitt up there on the road, and he brought us back, you know, had a 400-yard passing day and won the game in the final minutes in a two-minute drive. So I knew he was clutch, but he showed a lot of poise in that game, man. There was a lot of stuff going on. It was super loud, and we did a lot with him. He had to make a lot of reads on the snap, you know, from an RPO standpoint to try to put stress on their secondary. And he just did a really good job of executing the game plan and giving his playmakers chances to make plays and not putting us in bad positions, because there was 8 plays in the game where they could have sacked him and he threw the ball away. And those were huge plays, you know, just getting us to the next down.
Dave Doyne's joining us talking about that big win. And then after the game, you said, quote, the curse is broken, NC State fans. Hey, look, you're 9 years into it with the program. You've seen some crazy things. I mean, at any point in time, did you start to think that, you know, curses? Man, maybe there is something to this. Maybe this is real. And then how does it feel to have broken that thing finally, whatever it is?
Yeah. You know, the first week I was on the job here, my old AD, Debbie Al, told me, you're going to hear a lot about this curse, you know, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm going to tell you, man, there's been a lot of stuff that's unexplainable go down here, and watching it again with our baseball team in the spring, I mean, what a crime that was. So, yeah, for something to go our way and to be able to bounce, you know, push through all the things that went on and get the win and be able to celebrate that with our fan base, it was magical, and we got rid of it. I don't know what it took a lot. We got rid of it on Saturday.
Man, that is the truth, right? So how much of that win was about what the team did on Saturday? And then how much of that was the result of 9 years of work and building the program to this point and creating that culture?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely accumulation. It took a lot of people, a lot of coaches that are no longer here, you know, have moved on and have helped build this thing. A lot of players that are now in the NFL helped build it. And I actually showed in our Friday team meeting, I showed a bunch of plays that we've made over the last 9 years to kind of get over the hump in certain games to finally beat Florida State. Here's what we had to do. To finally beat Louisville, here's what we had to do. And to beat Notre Dame and a Hurricane, here's what we had to do. I showed them players making plays at key moments and said, it's time to do that against this team, and you're ready. And the guys did it.
NC State head coach Dave Doyne joining us. Dave, I want to ask you about key moments. This is a different way of looking at it, I think. You said something the other day about the mood coming out of that loss to Mississippi State that I thought was very interesting. Quote, we just didn't finish drives, and so it was a situation where we had a tough, humble pie learning experience about being a better teammate offensively. It's a really interesting term or phrase. What did you mean by learning how to be a better teammate offensively, and then how did that show up against Furman and Clemson?
Yeah, well, we got down the red zone three times in that game and got 0 points, and we gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. And offensively in that game, we have a lot of good players, you know, and they all want the ball, and I understand that. But there were times where kids were questioning, oh, I should get the ball more, how come I'm not getting this route, or how come we're not running this play? And like I told them after the game, if you do that, you're playing for the other team. You need to take the play call to heart. You need to do your job. And if you do that, you're going to make plays. And the guys all owned that. They understood. You can't win games doing that. 11 guys have to go as hard as they can for the play caller and protect the quarterback if you're an offensive player. And, you know, being selfish is not a way to win in an 11-man at one-time sport. And we talked a lot about that in the preseason, like what could keep us from being great. And one of the things was not being a good teammate, just because there's a lot of kids that are on this team, just like everyone with the COVID relief. We have 91 guys on scholarship. There's only 11 of them on the field. You know, no one's going to play as much as they want to. You know, it's just how it is. And you got to buy into being a great teammate if you want to win.
It's such a great message. Such an important message. So then in talking to coaches over the years, they always talk about the fact that the most dangerous game is the one that comes after a big win. And that sometimes dealing with success is tougher than dealing with failure. So what then is your message to the team this week as you get ready for Louisiana Tech?
Yeah, well, we addressed the elephant in the room right away. I told them that, like, hey, we're going to enjoy the win for 2 days, and when you guys come back in the building on Monday, it's over. And we can't listen to the hype. We can surely, you know, be thankful that we won the game. But, you know, even with our social media, all that, like, whatever you're putting out there, you got Sunday and Monday to do it. When we get to Tuesday, it's all about winning the next game and being better. And one of the players stood up, Drake Thomas, and he had a really profound statement to the team, you know. He said, look, man, we set our goals for the season. It didn't say beat Clemson and then go home. It said win the championship, you know. And all we did was get one step closer, and that's it. So we got to move on. So it was great to hear the players, you know, chime in after that, and there's all the same sentiment. We just got to get back on the grass now and put them to it.
Well, Dave, that's the bottom line, right? You know, as a head coach, if you've got your players telling each other that, that's about as good as it gets. One quick follow, since you mentioned social media, I'm really curious how you approach this. Like, it is what it is, and when social media is good, it's the best thing ever, and then when it's bad, it's like the worst thing ever. Like, if you're a coach, you don't want your players reading constantly, you suck, you're terrible, you're horrible. But as a coach, you also don't want your players reading constantly, you're the best thing ever. So how do you approach it with social media? Like, you can't tell them not to do it. So what do you tell them?
It's hard. You know, I mean, you talk about it, and I think that's the biggest thing. We can't assume it doesn't bother them or that it's not a problem. I mean, everything you just said is true. And I don't know if anyone's ever said that to you before, Ron, but everything you just said is true. But with the guys, man, you just tell them. You know, like, look, if we read into this and get inflated egos, we're going to lose, and we're going to be super regretful. You know, and when there's people that want to put you down, they're going to be right there doing it. And the best thing they can do is have a tight circle and really not pay attention to most of that stuff during the season.
That's the truth. He is the head football coach at NC State. 9 years in, they're coming off a big win. But the next one, what's the big win? What's the biggest one? It's always the next one. Louisiana Tech is at NC State Saturday. Dave, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Congrats. And I hope we can do it again soon.
I appreciate you having me. It means a lot. Go Pack.
Appreciate you doing it, Coach. Means a lot. Dave Doran doing an amazing job at NC State. And what a great win. This social media thing always is something of an issue, right? And by something of an issue, I mean like the biggest issue. Because the fact of the matter is, I'm not here to hate social media, because when it's good, there's nothing better. It can be the most amazing thing. But it can also be a cesspool and the worst thing ever. So what do you do if you've got young players or young kids or teenage kids? I do. I've got a kid in college. I've got a kid in high school. I've got a staff. I've got a show. I mean, the whole thing is such an issue. So when it's good, it's great. And when it's not, it's horrible. And you don't want to let it get in your head or under your skin. But it's not really feasible, I don't think, or realistic to tell your players, don't ever go on social media. I mean, how are you going to do that? That'd be like me telling my 17-year-old, hey, you, hey, Lokes, never go on social media. Never look at it. It's just not realistic. I mean, I could try, but how do you keep them from it? They'll find it one way or another. So I think that what Dave just said is really key. Keep a tight circle in season. Keep a very tight circle, because it's so important what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're listening to, and what you're consuming. And like I said, both things can be really distracting. You suck. You're horrible. You're the worst thing that's ever happened to us in our program. Who's going to want to see that as a young player? And you're going to tell me you're not going to bring that on the field. Chances are you will. Or, hey, man, you are the greatest thing ever. You know what? I am. I think I'll do a little less work. I think I'll lose a little bit of that edge. You got to manage it. Have to manage it. All right, so phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. This just in from Adam Schefter. I do hate to see this. And I knew it was bad when it happened. And I'm not surprised by this, but this hurts. Broncos wide receiver KJ Hamler tore his ACL Sunday, out for the season, per source. Adam Schefter had that note. You know how I feel about KJ Hamler and his family. Hate to see that. All right, so we can talk about where that leaves the Broncos. 1-800-636-8686. Did you hit NC State this weekend? Did you get down with NC State? If you would listen to Big Head Bets, you may have. Big Head had himself a weekend now. I want you to go to our podcast. If only thing, the good thing, this is how good this is. The bets have already been made. The games have already been played. But it's entertaining enough that you can listen back to it. So check it out. When we return, more of an NFL recap for you. More reaction for you. And some telephone calls, too. Don't go anywhere. Over a century ago, Trico was the first company to make wiper blades, and they have been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since, protecting drivers in the harshest weather. from torrential downpours to gale force winds to wintry blasts in every single climate all across the country. Trico engineers are constantly studying your specific driving conditions to make sure that you will be ready for anything and everything, even if it does actually start to rain cats and dogs. But don't worry, if that ever happens, you will be able to see past every soggy Siamese and drenched Doberman. Whatever weather you have to encounter out there, rely on Trico wipers to maintain maximum windshield contact for safe, clear driving visibility in any condition. And no matter what your driving habits are or what car you drive, you will always find the right Trico wiper blade for you. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. To find a store near you and see their latest offers, visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Since I went back-to-back interviews, time for some reaction. Right after I remind you of the fact that it's also time to ask the pros, where your clones get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Listen later on. I might answer yours, but probably not. Probably Bella's. Probably Brent and PC's. Probably Mr. Marino in San Diego, but maybe yours.
Out there, they really are.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, that's not to suggest that they're the only three that ask me questions, but it's those three and then the rest of you. I get a lot of questions for that segment. Those three have just figured out a system. They're just better at it. All right, so some reaction quickly. Stucknut, great interview with Ross Tucker until you switch the topic to football. Hashtag Team Hummus. You know what? I would say to you that I'm really surprised how polarizing hummus is, but I'm not surprised how polarizing hummus is. Because the fact of the matter is, I eat it, and I don't even know if I like it. Normally, I can tell you, oh, I like that. That tastes really good. Or, that tastes like ass.
You like that?
Hummus, I don't know. I literally don't know if I like it or not, and I eat it. I like it better on some things than others. Like, I can tell you this. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I'm kind of like ambivalent about it. This guy's not. Ryan May. Quote, hummus? Hummus. Really, Jim? You dip your pretzel crisp with hummus. Hummus is baby food for adults. It's a great take. Baby food for adults. Now, I'll tell you what it is. I don't eat it because it tastes good. I eat it because it feels like it's a healthy option.
Eat it, HUD.
Brian tweets, okay, Jim. We need a food-only discussion with Ross Tucker Weekly. It would be as huge as the beef segment. Oh, no, Ross could. Ross is as good at food as he is football. I could easily do an entire segment with him every single week on food. Now, the one thing that I did not take him to task on, because I didn't want to get too far out there, and I knew we would never get to football, I do not agree with his take. It's just my opinion. I do not agree with his take that Doritos are the best chip. Now, also to be transparent, I'm more of a sugar guy than a salt guy, and I'm trying to fix that too. I like chips, but I'm not an enormous chip guy. I like chips. But Doritos are not high on my list, frankly. Or they're not first on my list, I would say. I'll tell you what I like. You know what's a badass chip? A badass chip. Sun chips. Sun chips to me rule. Let's see. Hello, Jim. Allow me to state the obvious. Ross Tucker is not only the greatest NFL interview on your show, he is fast becoming one of the best interviews in the jungle, period. Jimmy in Wichita. This is why I always put him on. I am an enormous fan of Ross. Very, very smart, very insightful, very anecdotal, great experience, and he could talk about a lot of different things. He is really, really good. Really good. At 1-for-3, C1, quote, Justin Fields getting sacked 9 times was 100% scheme. Signed, Matt Nagy.
That's 100% scheme, Brad.
It's a bad scheme then. Any scheme to get your quarterback sacked 9 times and hit 21 times in 42 offensive plays is 100% bad scheme.
That's 100% scheme, Brad.
Romy Rome. Memo to Coach Dingleberry. You survived the Jags on Sunday. I'm happy the Cards are 3-0, but please stop making dumb decisions like trying to kick a 68-yard field goal. The schedule gets way tougher now, beginning this week at the Rams. Pete in Phoenix. Pete, I'm going to turn that on its head. It was not their best game. That was not the best decision. But Kyler Murray himself, who I was all about on the NFL and CBS on Sunday, said it best. That's the kind of game we lose in recent years. Let me tell you about the Cards. They did not have their best game. That's like a pitcher not having his best stuff and yet finding a way still to get it done. They went on the road, and yes, they were only dealing with the Jags, but you got to find a way to get it done and grind out a win on the road on a day when you're not having your best day, and they did. And they get the hell out, and by the way, they covered. I'm okay with it. But you're right. Yeah, no, that game is not going to get them where they need to be. But a win is a win, no matter how it looks. And they found a way to get it done. The guys that they needed to make plays late made plays late. Paulie in Indy, quote, stupid call.
Stupid call.
Trusting grocery store sushi. See, that's a whole nother topic. Janet and I have that conversation. Whether or not I should get sushi from the store or the market. I'm a California guy. I call it the market. I would argue that, yeah, you don't get great sushi in a market. Her argument is you actually do because you know it's fresh. Yeah, I mean, you know, right? They've got the date on it at least. I stand by the argument. I do it. I buy it. It's not the best thing to do, but I do it because it's easy. It's fast. It's easy. Rome, that bubble screen in the end zone was ill-advised. Yours, eating Chipotle prior to getting nice with your lady.
Stupid call!
Drew in West LA. That bubble screen in the end zone was ill-advised. Signed, me reading anything you write, Drew.
Stupid call!
Yours, eating Chipotle prior to getting nice with your lady. It's disgusting, Drew. And not funny. Stupid tweet.
Stupid call.
Stupid tweet.
Stupid
tweet.
Stupid
tweet.
Stupid
tweet.
Stupid
tweet.
Stupid
tweet.
Stupid
tweet. Am I making myself clear, Drew?
Stupid
tweet. It's a stupid tweet, Drew.
Stupid call.
I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm saying it's a stupid tweet. And I am saying that was a stupid call. And not just a stupid call,
stupid
maybe the
call.
Worst call in the history of the game. A bubble screen in your own end zone. That is a stupid call.
Stupid
not like,
call.
Hey, well,
that's
what would it have been like if it worked? Still a stupid call.
Stupid call.
They're lucky it only
safety.
Resulted in a safety. Hedstrom Bacon. We've seen more prep in a parody Larry phone call than Nagy's game plan yesterday. I tend to see it that way myself. I'm taking it all off the quarterback and putting it all on the coach almost exclusively. Now, Ross Tucker made the point. He said, I might be the only guy saying this in America right now, but this is why he didn't start the year. This is why Dalton was out there. You know, in short, he wasn't ready. Fine. But then you put the guy out there. Man, give him some help. I thought this head coach was an offensive mastermind. How do you put that guy out there? And granted, putting that guy out there against America's team was not the best idea. But if you're going to put this guy out there against America's team, at least get this guy some help. I mean, after all, you are an offensive mastermind. I'll get to it. Stucknut is in. the unnamed XR4TI fill-in engineer sounds much improved today.
Thank you.
Maybe, but maybe not. You still don't know who is or who is not here today, do you? Except for me. And that was after my first commute to New York and back in a weekend since the season before last. So much fun. And you know what's even better? I'm going back this weekend. We're going back to back. Wells is in, quote, big head, swearing on the podcast seemed very natural. It wasn't weird at all. Signed, hearing Rome read that Raining Cats and Dogs ad. First of all, it's just like an analogy or a reference, Wells. Like, the Trico wiper blades are so amazing that literally if the sky opened up and dogs and cats were to fall out, it wouldn't matter, Wells, because Trico is amazing. What's so hard to understand about that, Wells? Soggy Siamese and drenched Dobermans, Wells. Why is that so hard to figure out? This is why you live in the 720, Wells. And the Big Head swearing on the podcast. It wasn't that it was unnatural. It's just that it was gratuitous. There's a difference. It was kind of like a guy with a new toy, like, hey, boss, can I say a four-letter word here? Can I? Should I? Would it be all right? Oh, I'm just going to do it. And he did. And I checked him. But what we're talking about is the Big Head Betts coming off the daily platform and moving to the podcast to get the real estate that I thought that maybe it could justify. And it did. Big Head had himself a weekend. And if you did what he told you to do, you had yourself a weekend. At One More Mickey tweets, I miss the days of you wadding up the paper with the stupid tweet and throwing it away. So do I. But, bro, that was wasteful. That was extremely wasteful. We are paperless. We have been paperless. I agree with you, though. I always got that drop. I always got the sound. We might do that for effect. Like, imagine me reading something from Drew in West LA. Something like, sincerely, smashing a bunch of Chipotle before getting nice with the wife. Yeah, thanks, Drew. Great take. And at HOF Spillane tweets, Rome, I'd be the perfect spokesman for Old Trapper, considering my arm has the same texture of weathered beef jerky. Signed, Big Ben. Another stupid tweet. You know why? Old Trapper is not weathered. Old Trapper is incredible.
Stupid call.
It's practically butter. You know what's weathered? Spillane? Your takes. Dried out, old, recycled, weathered. Reads like an old shoe. Come on, man. Y'all are just barking up the wrong tree. Y'all are coming in here, barking up the wrong tree, taking a leak on the wrong tree, messing the carpet, trying to jump up in bed. Come on, man. You know that phrase you hear players talk about? Man, that guy's a dog now. Yeah, that's what you are, but the wrong kind of dog. Meantime, Big Head wants y'all to know that he does curse. Quote, I do cuss, brah. It's pretty natural. He does. I've said this a million times, really quickly. The culture and the demographics and the personality of the XR4TI are very interesting. Some of us drink, some of us don't. Some of us gamble, some of us don't. Some of us curse, some of us don't. Some of us eat sugar, some of us don't. Actually, I guess what I'm trying to say here is my man D-Dub does none of the bad stuff. Ritt does all of the bad stuff. I do most of the bad stuff in moderation. All right, so let's take a short time out. By the way, Commander Chalk made his first wager. He was proud of himself. I think he bet like a dollar on something. He says $5, but he's in. That's great, brah. We're going to make $2 off that $5 bet. I'm not here to clown the bet. I'm here to clown how long it took you to make that bet. But he's in. He did it. When we come back.
We did it! We did it!
Adafe Owe in hour number 3. How about the Ravens, man? On that Tucker field goal from 66 yards that hit the crossbar. Lions fan, I am not here to mock you or clown you. Man, I feel your pain. I love you. But that was comedy. That was absolutely incredible. Yeah, because that guy was going to miss that kick. Indoors. Sure as hell he wasn't. Here's a bottom of the hour sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Already looking ahead to the weekend. Saturday, the SEC on CBS features an outstanding top 25 matchup between Ole Miss and top-ranked Alabama. The day begins with the Mercedes-Benz drive to Atlanta. 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific, followed by State Farm College Football Today, leading up to kickoff at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, Saturday afternoon. The SEC is on CBS. Keep that in mind if you don't mind. All right, so let's get some phone calls in. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. You know that by now, right? I don't ever remember not having that telephone number. We've had that number for decades. One phone line is available. Let's get at it. Well, look who's here. She got herself a golden ticket last week. Somebody said, man, I hope she doesn't lose it. I said, I think that she knows. She knows the show. She knows what to do. She knows what to say. I feel comfortable with it. And by the way, I love that Kathleen in Omaha is calling right back. Because the safe play is to pocket that golden ticket or to lock it in a safe so nobody rips it out of your hand. But she's not afraid. And she's back. So she goes right to the front of the line. Kathleen in Omaha. Kathleen, what's going on?
Thank you, Jim, for the golden ticket. And thank you to everyone who said I should have one. I just want y'all to do one thing, and that's watch Avatar's brand new video, Going Hunting. It's a great song. I've already seen it so many times. It's just one of 22 that they have, and they're all worth watching except for For the Swarm because it's only a minute 44, and songs should not be that short. But all of the others are much longer than that.
Kathleen? I've got bad news for you.
No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car.
That golden ticket that you thanked me for, you no longer have it. Albie, thank you. Kathleen, this is the sound of you getting, Alvin. Let's shut. Thank you. That was the sound last week of you getting a golden ticket. One more time. It's glorious, isn't it?
I've got a golden ticket.
Now give me a word that is the opposite of glorious. Sucks. This is what happened to you today. And do you know why that is? I gave you that golden ticket because of your edge. Albeit your anger, that you were on point. How many times have I said, one of the things I admire most and I'm most blown away by when it comes to Kathleen is that she has never once addressed me in any of her phone calls. Never, hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call, Jim. Like, for the life of me, I have no idea until now if she even knew my name or what show she was calling. Did you hear the way she started that? With niceties, pleasantries, Hi, Jim. Wait, what? Hi, Jim? Did you say hi? And did you refer to me by my name? Hi, Jim. And did you say thank you? Hi, Jim, thank you. And to all the clones, thank you. Hi, Jim, for giving me, no, hi, Jim, thank you for giving me a golden ticket. And thank you to all the clones for saying that I deserved it.
Thank you, Jim, for the golden ticket. And thank you to everyone who said I should have one.
I mean, was that the fake Kathleen in Omaha? And then to make the entire call about the avatar. Kathleen, good news, bad news. Bad news, you ain't invited to this party. Good news is, you can get re-invited to the party. Get back to your roots. Do what you do best. The ticket changed you. The ticket made you soft. The ticket ripped your edge, so I ripped the ticket back. Here's something else. Before you get really mad, Kathleen, think of the call you just made. Do you think that call would get you into the smack-off? Of course not. That attitude, that call, that content, of course not. That's not why I put you in. And that's why you're not in right now. It was golden tickets, man. You have to understand, they carry incredible and immense value. I don't just give those things away. You got to earn them. And then once you earn it, you have to keep earning it. And you just unearned it. I'm sorry to have to do that. But it is my job to do that. And nobody listening would even question that. And if you're saying, Rome, come on, man, that was so unfair. No, it's not. That's not what got her in. That's not what gets anybody in. It's like the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Very Good. Only the best get in. And before that call, all of her calls put her in a position where she was among the best, trying to win. But not that call. So, Kathleen, dust yourself off. Get back up on that horse. Not today. I know you, Kathleen. I know you want to right that wrong immediately. I know you're back to your old self already. Not today. But there will be plenty of other days. Soon enough, I'm sure. And now she no longer has it. Alvin, once again, the sound of somebody getting their golden ticket ripped. You don't want that sound. Well, the clones want that sound for other people. That'll happen. God, didn't I just go on a whole thing last week, too, about I trust her. She's one I do not need to worry about. I did. Kathleen? I did. I was the one saying, we don't have to worry about Kathleen. She's got this. She understands the game. She's good at the game. I will not rip her ticket. And sure enough, bam, on her very next call. Even I don't know. And I've seen everything when it comes to this show. An amazing moment. All right, we still have open phones. Who's next? Let's go to Long Island. Pete, good to have you. Pete, how are you?
Hey, Vance Mack. How you doing? Long time.
Good, dude. How about you?
Great seeing you on NFL Today. I love your segments and look forward to it.
Thanks so much.
All right, let me jump right in on my Giants. You know how passionate I am about them. Let's start out with Joe Judge. Is this guy like the biggest moron? Are you sure he's like a Bill Belichick protege? Because that move he made with the challenging of the call, I mean, you could see it was an incomplete pass. He didn't make no move or nothing like that, no football move, and he wants to call it and waste the timeout. Now, I don't want to jump on Jones anymore because he's improving. Although your last guest, you know, said he makes bad decisions, but yeah, he does. But you know, he doesn't have time. I mean, I'm glad that they booed Mara the other day when he was introducing Eli, because when are they going to realize they got to get him aligned? What is the problem? We got the money.
Man, let me jump in there, Pete. I love that. I always wanted to work at WFAN, and now I do. Is that not the prototypical FAN call? I love it. No, seriously, is somebody young in this business on the way up before Extra Sports 690 existed? Well, 690 AM existed, but Extra Sports 690 did not. My dream as a young person was to work at WFAN. That was the mecca because that was the only all-sports station in America. And now 30 years later, when I take a phone call from Pete in Long Island, tearing up the Giants, I do. Now, I hear you, bro. Pete, I hear you. I know you're frustrated. You've got every right to be. If you can't win on a day like that, when you're at home and you're honoring Eli Manning and Daniel Jones plays arguably his best game to date and you still can't win, you're an even bigger problem than I thought. The Giants, I mean. And when Mayer was asked, hey, man, how'd it feel to be booed? And his response was, I deserved it. We deserve it. Right. You all do. Let's say it's something else about the Giants. The one thing the Giants could always say confidently and comfortably when things were not going well, and things have not gone well for quite some time now, the one thing the Giants could always say is, at least we're not the Jets. At least we're not the Jets. And now you are the Jets. You can no longer even say that. Yeah, they're a mess. And how many of you Giants fans were coming in for me? Coming for me when I said, man, Joe Judge, some of this high school bullcrap, some of this Bill Belichick bullcrap, it ain't going to play. And some of you Giants fans were coming hard going, come on, man. You know what the hell you're talking about, Rome. Yeah, do I not know what I'm talking about now? Because that bullcrap's not working, is it? The only team worse than the Jets in the last few years is the Giants. And the numbers bear this out. They're equally crappy. When we come back, hour number three, do not hang up. Hey, anything could happen. I did not see Kathleen getting her golden ticket ripped. I really did not. And that just happened. All of this is still ahead. Open phones next. I've got more thoughts on the NFL weekend. Stay tuned.